Chapter 8. That same day, King Xerxes gave the house of Haman, enemy of the Judeans, to Queen Esther. And Mordecai was admitted to the king's presence, for Esther had revealed his relationship to her. The king removed his signet ring from Haman and transferred it into the keeping of Mordecai. And Esther put Mordecai in charge of the house of Haman. In another audience with the king, Esther fell at his feet and tearfully implored him to revoke the harm done by Haman the Agagite and the plan he had devised against the Judeans. The king stretched forth the golden scepter to Esther. So she rose, and standing in his presence, Esther said,
"If it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and it seems proper before the king, and if I am pleasing in his eyes, let a document be issued to revoke the letters which that schemer Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, wrote for the destruction of the Judeans in all the royal provinces. For how can I witness the evil that is to befall my people, and how can I behold the destruction of my race?"
Then King Xerxes said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Judean,
"Now that I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gibbet because he attacked the Judeans, you in turn may write in the king's name what you see fit concerning the Judeans, and seal the letter with the royal signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the royal signet ring cannot be revoked."
At that time, on the 23rd day of the third month, Sivan, the royal scribes were summoned. Exactly as Mordecai dictated, they wrote to the Judeans and to the satraps, governors, and officials of the 127 provinces from Hodu to Cush, to each province in its own script, and to each people in its own language, and to the Judeans in their own script and language. These letters, which he wrote in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the royal signet ring, were sent by mounted couriers riding thoroughbred royal steeds. In these letters, the king authorized the Judeans in each and every city to group together and defend their lives, and to kill, destroy, wipe out, along with their women and children, every armed group of any nation or province which should attack them, and to seize their goods as spoil throughout the provinces of King Xerxes on a single day, the 13th of the 12th month, Adar. The following is a copy of the letter.
King Xerxes the Great, to the governors of the provinces in the 127 satrapies from Hodu to Cush, and to those responsible for our interests. Greetings! Many have become the more ambitious, the more they were showered with honors through the bountiful generosity of their patrons. Not only do they seek to do harm to our subjects, but incapable of bearing such greatness, they even begin plotting against their own benefactors. Not only do they drive out gratitude from among men, but with the arrogant boastfulness of those to whom goodness has no meaning, they suppose they will escape the vindictive judgment of the all-seeing God. Often, too, the fair speech of friends entrusted with the administration of affairs has induced many placed in authority to become accomplices in the shedding of innocent blood, and has involved them in irreparable calamities by deceiving with malicious slander the sincere goodwill of rulers. This can be verified in the ancient records that have been handed down to us, but more fully when one considers the wicked deeds perpetrated in your midst by the pestilential influence of those undeserving of authority. We must provide for the future so as to render the kingdom undisturbed and peaceful for all men. Taking advantage of changing conditions and deciding, always with equitable treatment, matters coming to our attention. For instance, Haman, son of Hammedatha, an Agagite, certainly not of Persian blood, and very different from us in generosity, was hospitably received by us. He so far enjoyed the goodwill that we have toward all peoples that he was proclaimed Father of the King, before whom everyone was to bow down. He attained the rank second to the royal throne. But unequal to this dignity, he strove to deprive us of kingdom and of our breath. And by weaving intricate webs of deceit, he demanded the destruction of Mordecai, our savior and constant benefactor, and of Esther, our blameless royal consort, together with their whole race. For by such measures he hoped to catch us defenseless and to transfer the rule of the Persians to the Agagites. But we found that the Judeans, who were doomed to extinction by this chief criminal, are not evildoers, but rather are governed by most righteous laws, and are the children of the Most High, the living God of Majesty, who has maintained the kingdom in a flourishing condition for us and for our ancestors. You will do well, then, to ignore the letters sent by Haman, son of Hammedatha, for he who composed it has been hanged, together with his entire household, before the gates of Susa. Thus, God, who governs all, has swiftly brought upon him the punishment that he deserved. You shall exhibit a copy of this letter publicly in every place to certify that the Judeans may follow their own laws, and that you may help them on the day set for their ruin, the 13th day of the 12th month, Adar, to defend themselves against those who attack them. For God, the ruler of all, has turned that day for them from one of destruction of the chosen race into one of joy, so that both now and in the future it may be for us and for loyal Persians a celebration of victory, and for those who plot against us a reminder of destruction. Every city and province, without exception, that does not observe this decree shall be ruthlessly destroyed with fire and sword, so that it will not be left merely untrodden by men, but even shunned by wild beasts and birds forever.
A copy of the letter to be promulgated as law in each and every province was published among all the peoples, so that the Judeans might be prepared on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Couriers, mounted on royal steeds, sped forth in haste at the king's order, and the decree was promulgated in the stronghold of Susa. And Mordecai left the king's presence, clothed in a royal robe of violet and of white cotton, with a large crown of gold and a cloak of crimson byssus. And the city of Susa rejoiced and was glad. And there was splendor and merriment for the Judeans, exultation and triumph. In each and every province, and in each and every city, wherever the king's order arrived, there was merriment and exultation, banqueting and feasting for the Judeans. And many of the peoples of the land became Judeans, for they were seized with a fear of the Judeans.